Christopher Lydon. This is The Connection, and this is the poet Patricia Smith.
Woke up this morning in this crazy world. I'm all alone, I pray. I said, Lord, don't you let it get crazier than it is today. I'm not the child, not the child that I used to be. No, I'm not the man that you want to see. This truth has become my reality. Look what you've done.
Lights in here. It's too bright. You can see too much. Just turn them off till I get my bearings, till I can convince myself that I'm somewhere, anywhere else, instead of here in this place where every time the machines suck up my dollar and I punch one letter, one number, damned if that song don't sound like a beating heart. Understand, I didn't have time to get myself right this evening. Something's always a little off. My hair is pressed too hard. There's a tear in these cheap stockings. I didn't come here looking for nobody to love me. I came here to tip my glass, tip my glass, tip my glass one more time and swallow this darkness. I wanted to flood my insides, make me numb enough not to realize. If the lights come up, I'm just gonna close my eyes and keep it black in here. That way the lights come up only if I give them permission to shine. If I see reason to draw your eyes to this little piece of body I done dragged in here. Ain't seen no reason for that in a while. You know, I'm 46. Seemed like time running on a wild man's legs right on over me. Hell, I was fine when I got to this city. I'll tell you, I stepped off that Greyhound and turned me some heads. Now I'm a slow down rhythm, setting up Joe, my lipstick spilling past the lines I put it in. I just got the wrong dress on tonight, that's all. Leave those lights right down where they are. That J.B. Burns where I done bit my lip trying to decide whether to show off or deny this gold tooth. My butt is sure enough moaning neath this too tight, too red thing I got on. And somebody blind and heartsick sound like he's trying to break out of that damn jukebox. Been down so long, look like up to me. If it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have no luck at all. Wondering, can a matchbox hold my clothes? Those boys are miserable all kind of ways. They're blue right down to their bone. Daddy used to say I was so black a person needed directions to get to me in the dark. I like that. So you see, my skin crack easy. It don't take to being lit up. I'm invisible inside and outside. I'm a little bit drunk in here. Daddy, ain't nobody asking for directions no more. Ain't nobody tried to get here in a long, long time. It's a sweet thing, this lonely, this solo, this by myself in the middle of everybody else. You say it don't matter and you wear it proud like you done something good, something worth maybe writing down and talking about. But all you've done is be by yourself, and it gets so sweet it makes you sick. You learn to read bar light like it's a language. You remake yourself in that tiny mirror that rests in the bottom of every shot glass. Every little piece of nothing sounds like, hello, baby, to you, and you answer back like a fool. I don't even need music to sing that song. But did you hear it yet? Did you hear how my heartbeat is perfectly timed to the bass beat that is the backdrop of every blues song ever groaned or grunted? By all rights, I should be dead now. This ain't no common rhythm. That's my heartbeat. There's my heart beating again. It teaches you to breathe different. It's all right to wear your worry in your hips. All right to eat pig's feet straight from the jar. All right to dance by yourself if the song is good. That's the way my heart clicks, navy blue and mournful and I give it an 85, Dick. It's got a beat and you can weep to it. It's just the way my heart learned to hang on. It ain't pretty by no means. It ain't by no means pretty, but it pumps blood enough to fuel the 2:17 a.m. shimmy, that walk you have to walk when some fool sees fit to slam the lights on and slam the lights off and slam the lights on and slam the lights off, talking some nonsense about bolting the doors and singing don't know where you're going but you can't stay here, and throwing you out into that nasty west side snow with your slingbacks on, but you didn't sipped enough 90 proof heat to conjure up a song, and you know the kind of song I'm talking.
Make it do right, make it do wrong.
You know how a woman sings that song with her whole self wide open.
Make it come home early, make it stay up all night long.
And there you are, singing it loud and desperate and upside everybody's head. You sing it like it's writing out a check for you. You wailing like it's gonna save your life. But you ain't special. This ain't no revelation. You singing in the key of crazy. The power of almost love. The power of close to love. The power of maybe love. The power of all night long. The power of should have been love. The power of he said it was love. The power of I thought it was love.
Welcome to The Connection, Patricia Smith. Welcome back to little old Boston, too.
Oh, thanks. Glad to be here.
Poetry, as you hear, is taking a new shape. Spoken word is now becoming poetic theater. And our guest, Patricia Smith, is among the poets leading the way. Patricia Smith was 20 years a journalist in Chicago and then in Boston, where she was famous for her edgy personal and political column in the Boston Globe. And then for getting fired on the discovery that some of the characters she wrote about lived more vividly in her head than in real life. But she has always been a poet who brought the urgent sound and rhythm of contemporary poetry into daily life, contemporary life into modern poetry. She imported the competitive sport of slam poetry from Chicago to Boston when she came to the Globe in the early 90s, and she still kept winning national slam championships. Patricia Smith also performed with Derek Walcott's Trinidad Theater Workshop in 1994. This year, the queen of poetry slamming is taking her poetic theater piece, Blues Through to Bone, on the road. She'll be at the Cambridge Center for Adult Education tomorrow night. Connection listeners, is this the way you want to hear your poetry? Is this maybe the only way you can connect with new poetry today? Our phone is 1-800-423-8255. The Patricia Smith Poetic Theater Connection, 1-800-423-TALK. Welcome, and thank you, Patricia Smith. What do you call that piece, the first piece we just heard?
Well, they're all part of a piece called Blues Through the Bone. That was kind of a persona poem about a woman that I'm all too familiar with, sort of the older woman you see sitting in the same seat at the bar every time you come in, who's kind of overdressed and overly perfumed, and what she might be coming there expecting to find. So I started thinking about what that woman was going on inside that woman's head, and that's where that first piece came from.
When did you write it, and how did it come to you? Was this on deadline? Was there a competition involved?
Well, we did the show at the Cambridge Center for Adult Education for the first time last Saturday, and this piece was written Thursday night.
Wow.
And the last portion of the show was emailed to Phil, my singer, was emailed to him about a half an hour before sound checks. Yeah. So it's fresh.
Sounds like a columnist on Deadline.
It might be, yeah.
You call it poetic theater, and I'll introduce the musicians in a moment, but describe it. And the last time we knew you, you were the slam poetry queen. Now you're heading toward a new territory. Describe it. Where are you going?
Well, it kind of came out of that. A number of years ago, someone who was in one of Derek Walcott's classes came to a reading of mine, and I just read, you know, a number of kind of disjointed poems for about 45 minutes, and they came up to me and said that he was exploring the idea of poetic theater, and would I be interested in doing something at BU Playwrights Theater with my work. And I took
poetic theater. I mean, Shakespeare is poetic theater. Derek Walcott writes poetic theater. I mean, Mr. Nobel Derek Walcott. What did he mean by it in that case, and what do you mean by it?
Well, he thought that there was enough drama and enough narrative thread in the poems to warrant it be performed as a piece of theater. So I took the poems, I put kind of a chronological thread through them, and I linked them with monologue, and lo and behold, they were in a theater, and they were reviewed. It was reviewed as a theatrical production, so it was rather easy. My poems also always seem to tell a story. So people have always said to me, I wonder what happens to the people in your poems before the instance of the poem and after the instance. So if I start thinking that way, I can start to stretch them in both directions and make real characters out of them. And that's kind of what I've done with that first piece.
Does that 46-year-old woman who was fine when she got to this city, does she have a name?
She'll have one on Saturday. The problem with it was I did it, and I guess there were so many things that were... another portion of the show is a direct experience of mine. So I think people were confused and thought that this woman was me, and I said, oh, my God, they think I'm spending my night in the bars looking for love. So she is going to definitely
the power of maybe love.
Maybe love, sometimes love, thought it was
he
love.
He says it's love.
So, yeah, she's going to have a name. So I'm open for suggestions. If it suggested a name to you, let me know.
That's the best invitation connection call I've had in a long time. Name that woman, 1-800-423-8255, or 1-800-423-TALK, the Poetic Theater Connection with Patricia Smith. I wish you'd introduce us to another character in the show, or another piece of it, maybe the you piece of it. Give
the
us another
piece of me. Okay.
Another taste of Patricia Smith's new theater piece called Blues Through to Bone.
My son, budding dreadhead, has taken a break from obsessively twisting and waxing his hair, swelling his delts, busting rhymes with no aim or backbeat or future beyond the common room. He's put a hole on his cluttered spewing of legalese, the result of desperately cramming for a test no one's giving anymore. It's come down to toothpaste and writing paper and an addiction to Snickers bars. It's come down to razors to keep his face hair sharp. It's come down to money, baby, the pursuit of a fat canteen. So my child has laid claim to a jailhouse location. I'm the writer, Mama, he tells me. That's what I'm known for in here. And I stand in my kitchen clutching the hot receiver, wanting to laugh out loud, but that would be wrong. I must steady my focus. I must be typical, single, black, with an 18 to 30-year-old male child behind bars. I'm so good, I can do this dance without music now. But I do want to laugh, because my son has always been the writer. He has always been stark witness to the underbelly, his eyes wider, his doomed heart thumping. Funny how it takes a cage to free him, make him out loud admit what he was always so ashamed to say in the midst of posse. I remember waiting for the tattered paper, folded 1,000 times, darkened with Newport scars and blotches of 40 ounce. He'd cram it into my hand. I guess it's a poem, I don't know. Throw it away if you want. And he'd scoot fast past me and into his room, and with a twist of knob and a jolting blast of bass, straight out of Compton and into the clutches of that week's rhyme. And oh, I'd ache at what he'd done, scraping skewered visions directly from the surface of his skin, holding fast to the sleek sides of mountains, all the time rising against falling. What are you, child? I'd whisper as I read. Could there be a dream temporarily deferred, wallowing in those drooping denims and triple X sweats? Could there be a poet wrapped tight against the world in those swaddling clothes? He was the writer then. But now, now, bathed in the glow of the Middlesex County House of Corrections, he is the writer, sanctioned by the baddest, crowned king thing because he has rediscovered the power of twisting verb and noun. You know, mama, they pay me to write love letters to their ladies. I write poems if they'd rather have that. This one big musclehead brother everybody be sweating even asked me to write a letter to his mama on her birthday. They call him Scribe. The OGs and wannabes. They bring him their imploded dreams, letters from their women in waiting, tired of waiting, and he pins and spins impossible sugar onto the maddening precise lines of legal pads. He wide opens their throats for them, sketches unqualified remorse. On deadline, he pens June moon dripping enough to melt a B-girl's heart. He drops to his knees, moans and whimpers in stilted verse, coaxing last ink from a passed around ballpoint, making it wail, please, please, come on, baby girl, don't be talking about not waiting out my time. It's only 5 years left. That ain't much. Hey, Scribe, 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 hook me up, man. I ain't got no answer for this stuff she's talking. His customers are ham-handed and all the way hard, crazy muscled, sulking beneath an always sheet of sweat, desperate for less time, more time. These brothers are bad enough to be known by their barest common denominators, bad enough to be known by their consonants. So my son signs his work, Love, G, Love, B, Love, Big D, Much Love, Smooth C. When the letters are crafted just right, copied over and over and edited for the reel, the customers sometimes stumble through the allowed reading of them. Scared of their own new voices, they scrunch scarred foreheads and whistle through their teeth at the three-syllable kick verbs. Look, 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 I'm gonna trust you, man, they tell my son. I'm gonna trust you on this. You know, Scribe, Scribe, damn, man, this sings. You blessed, man, you blessed. I don't know what you're saying, man, but it sounds good. So, I'm gonna trust you on this. And I must admit, as a fellow poet, I envy my son this being necessary. What he writes will bless a man with at least a few more nights of restful sleep, of believing that the long, dark tunnel ain't that much longer. Think of it. Which of us would refuse to read our work to an audience of could-be killers, our life teetering on every line changing the life of someone in the room? Wouldn't we give the world to craft a new face for everyone just once, to rewrite one moment of a life story, to beg for mercy on behalf of someone who has never known life on his knees? And at the end of our flowery betrayals, when our knees are shaking and there's that white heat moment of silence in the room, wouldn't it be great to have just one person rise slowly, full of threat and menace, to say, oh, okay, okay. I'm gonna have to trust you on that one. I'm gonna have to trust you on that.
Mm. This is marvelous, marvelous time on The Connection. Patricia Smith, thank you.
You're welcome.
You enormously. Does that piece, or that segment, have a title?
No, I didn't title the individual pieces in the show, basically because I wrote it right before we got on stage.
We'll call it
but,
Scribe.
Yeah, I have been calling it Scribe. That's been the working title for it.
Patricia Smith is our guest, was a columnist from the Boston Globe, graduated back to poetry, but not the slam poetry for which she's especially famous and a recognized heavyweight champ. This is Poetic Theater, and she's performing it tomorrow night. This piece called Blues Through the Bone at the Cambridge Center for Adult Education. 1-800-423-8255 makes the Poetic Theater connection with Patricia Smith and her band. 1-800-423-TALK. Juan is on the line.
Hello, good morning.
Welcome, Juan.
Ms. Smith, I am really, really excited about what you are doing. I can't wait to come see your show.
Well, thank you. I'll be glad to see you.
I actually was introduced to performance poetry just a few weeks ago. I saw a man, his name was Michael Mack, and he was doing this show.
I know Michael.
You know him?
Yeah, yeah, he's a good friend of mine.
Oh, okay.
I used to co-host the Cantab readings in Central Square, and he was a regular there.
Okay, okay. Well, he was doing this show, which is about his mother. She has schizophrenia, as my sister has schizophrenia, and I went to see this show because of that, and it was amazing. People
yeah.
were crying, people were laughing. I had never seen anything like that. So I did not know people were doing this kind of form.
I remember when Michael started trying those poems out, he just started trying them out one by one. And he did kind of what we did. You take a bunch of poems that are sort of similarly themed, and you can put them together in a half an hour, 90-minute show. So I'm glad to hear that he's been successful with that.
What's your theme, Juan?
My theme?
Yeah, in your own work.
Well, I'm not sure what you're asking. My sister has schizophrenia. That is why I went to see the show. And I suppose the work that I do is as a linguist. And I was truly captivated by the way that he was bringing together his movement and his poetry. And I really want to see what you were doing with music, too.
I see. Okay. But Patricia Smith tempted us all to believe, the last time she was here, it's 3, 4, 5 years ago, but this is a slam poet in all of us trying to get out. What would your own thread be?
Oh, I think that is so. I think that this kind of poetry gives an expression to poetry that has been waiting for a long time. I have read poetry before. I have gone to poetry readings before, but these were the first time that I saw people, that I saw somebody actually living what they were saying, living
Amen.
It.
Yeah, Juan, thank you. And more power to your own work. 1-800-423-8255 makes the Poetic Theater connection with Patricia Smith. Richard is on the line.
Hi, Chris. Hi, Patricia. Great show.
Thank you.
Question, Patricia. It's sort of letting the dog in the manger a bit. Are you familiar with Charles Bukowski?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I'm familiar with slam, and obviously your stuff is very reminiscent of The Last Poets. But notwithstanding that, do you feel you have the relationship with the crowd, sort of, obviously, hopefully in a more positive vein that Bukowski had with his reader crowd?
Yeah, I think Bukowski went to great lengths to alienate his crowd.
Well, deliberately.
Know? Yeah, deliberately, right. No, I'm not. What I really want to happen is when I perform a piece, I want at least one person in the room to say, you know, I have felt like that. I just didn't know there was a way to express it. I mean, I don't want to be the sort of unreachable, I am poet, you are audience. I want everyone to say at the end of a performance that, hey, that was good, but I can do that. Or a lot of the themes touched me, or the language was immediate, and it feels like something that I can do to sort of process things that are going on in my own life. So it's very, very important to me to have that kind of basic. I mean, Phil, the leader of the band here, told me at one point that I talked to the audience too much during that, my performances. I would stop sometime and just kind of see somebody in the audience and start talking to them. And so that is, I only can put out the energy that I get from the audience. So that relationship is very important to me.
Richard, thank you. 1-800-423-8255, the Poetic Theater Connection. Sharad is on a car phone.
Hi.
Morning. Welcome.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I think this is wonderful. I came to Boston 8 years ago from North Carolina, and my friends here took me to some poetry slam, and Patricia Smith was reading, and several different poems that I specifically remember, one about little green cucumbers. And I talked about it for months and months and months and months when I would go home for Christmas, and I would say it was like a movie. It was like, oh, it's a movie. I was crying. I had goosebumps. I felt in my heart. I felt in my belly. And I'd never experienced anything like that. Well, since then, poetry slams have made their way south, and people where I'm from can experience what I experienced with you. And I'm so, so grateful for the
opportunity.
Thank
you so much. That's
you made her day, Sharad.
You really did. I mean, that's kind of what you want. You want somebody a long time after seeing you to recall a line or something. I haven't done that poem in quite a while either, and it's nice to know that it had that effect.
Do you want to bring back a line of Little Green Cucumber?
Oh, my goodness. I'll see if this is the same one. It was a poem about the lover of someone with AIDS searching for a cure that he had seen in a tabloid newspaper. Okay. It's 3 p.m. on one hell of a hot day, and he'd been scouring the close cluttered streets nonstop, forgetting lunch. It's 3 p.m. exactly 1 week after headlines screamed at him from supermarket tabloid, Chinese cucumbers, miracle cure for AIDS. And now, right in the middle of poking around another dusty stall, slapping aside the maggots and the fruit flies, he realizes he doesn't even know what the damn things look like. Is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. Good to hear from you.
Take good care.
Thank you.
Shai, thank you very much for calling. 1-800-423-8255 makes the Poetic Theater connection with Patricia Smith and her band. As I said, I think that was my cue to introduce Philip Pemberton, who leads the band and sings, Jim Weston on drums, and Steve Griskowiak on guitar. Maybe you can explain, maybe they'll explain sometime who's cueing whom here, how it works. They're riffing along, reading your text as you speak it.
Well, it's not enough for a poet to just go out and find a willing musician. It's got to be somebody. The first time I heard Phil sing, there was something in his voice that reminded me of the passion that I try to represent in my poetry. And immediately I thought, if I'm going to do any kind of collaboration, I want it to be with someone like that.
Particularly, you're collaborating with us here on The Connection. Patricia Smith and her band performing Blues Through to Bone. This is The Connection from WBUR Boston and PRI Public Radio International. Funding for The Connection comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where The Connection is produced, and from the Allaire Corporation, empowering people with innovative internet technology and offering dynamic career opportunities at Allaire.com. And this is the Poetic Theater Connection with Patricia Smith.
I've been down so long, but I'm on my way back up again. I've been down so long, but I'm on my way back up again. When I get up this time, babe, you won't be my only friend.
It was one of those nights at the Cantab, rhythmless tourists thick as soup, but the regulars found each other without even trying, because there's never any place else they want to be. Some folks need the blues, require them, wouldn't shake them if they could. Besides, in a place like the Cantab, you can spot the day trippers, the dabblers in woe from the Ivy League. Hey, it's the blues, man, the real thing with black men and everything. Because they just can't seem to get the range of the place. They keep bumping into the bar, stubbing their toes on the edge of the stage, and knocking over drinks with flailing arms because, you know, usually the world opens up to let them through. But the tab don't need to be any bigger than it is. All the rotten luck, dashed fortunes, and cheap twangy guitars that need to fit will fit. This place is home to folks who are a break in the rhythm, residents of the bottom line. You don't go there looking for nobody to love you because, face it, nobody loves you. So you might as well drown in it, deny it, or sing about it. And what better place than the hole in the wall of a vanquished neighborhood, cramped and sweat-slick with its middle finger thrust upward, and Judy, Judy, woman of gravel and growl, is pouring liquid kisses behind the bar. It wasn't a regular night with Little Joe Cook, the soulful gnome of love, flirting boldly with every skirt walking, pretending that he remembered what women are for. And he swaggered and hobbled and sat down to catch his breath, and swaggered and kissed a girl on her cheek with his mouth wide open, and sat down and wheezed a little and stood up to swagger again. And, you know, what do you expect? The Peanut King is pushing 80 harder than he's ever pushed anything. Blues men get old just like everybody else, but dying don't occur to them. They just sip more heat and wear more cologne and drape strands of gold around their withered necks and talk stuff with women like there's no tomorrow. And when you think about it, there just might not be. It was hot and cramped and stinky and crowded. A sweet night and jam night where anybody can take the stage and kick it if they've got the nerve and know the words and they get there in time. And if Little Joe, the Emperor of Agony, gives them the nod. It's his jam night after all, and nobody steps to the stage, talent or not, unless they in some form or another kiss up to Little Joe. The selection process is a mystery, of course. If the corn on Little Joe's baby toe on his left foot throbs 3 times when he shakes your hand, you can sing that night. If he doesn't like that you're wearing the same lemon yellow fake silk double-breasted ensemble he had his eye on and was about to buy, it doesn't matter if you're B.B. King, you are going somewhere else that night. If his could-it-be-dyed afro droops on the left side between 5 and 5:17 on a day with a U in it, and it's also a day when he found salt pork in his collard greens and a nickel on a sidewalk in Dedham, you can sing if you can crawl into the tab on your knees and kiss his pinky ring with enough passion to get yourself arrested in 5 states, at least one of them, Alabama. If you want to sing at the Cantab on jam night with Little Joe presiding, you gotta know the rules. And there are no rules. Then again, you could be Phil, who acts like he doesn't care, who doesn't look anything like anybody with anything to be blue about. He's got that long hippie hair framing his face or pulled back to reveal cherub cheeks and a whole lot of forehead. He's partial to wearing rock boy black and fading into the backdrop to watch the proceedings, steering clear of the tourists, and you wouldn't notice him at all. But Little Joe feels a vibe in the room when Phil's there, and it won't let him rest. It's a rumble in his little old gut, something disturbing and undeniable, a ripple in the force. And for a reason he doesn't understand, Little Joe fits in the white kid. He gives up the stage, and Lord, that's where we find Phil. He's singing the room quiet. He wails and whispers and makes folks shake their heads in disbelief, but it's the old blues guys, the ones who've been dipping into that same bottle of Old Spice since 1967, who shake their heads and go, yeah, yeah. And on that sweet and hot and crowded night, Phil stopped and flicked the sweat from his soul and sat down in a chair near the front of the stage and watched some hopeful beg Little Joe for a place on the list. Ain't gonna work, he thought. Not sure why I'm up there every night, but I'm grateful. And he endured the blonde wisp who call themselves groupie and the Harvard boys who slap his back and identify but make sure he didn't meet their girlfriends. And then Phil sat down in his chair to slow his spirit down and cool it.
Real good.
That's all he heard, and at first he wasn't even sure that he heard it, so he ignored the sound.
Yeah, real good.
And where else can a white boy from Milford be hooked like a fish and dragged into a conversation with a black man who wears the blues like an overcoat? Weeping Willie was not actually weeping, but he looked at Phil with eyes wide as he could get them, which meant he wasn't really looking at Phil at all. So they just kept facing the stage in silence, watching some unfortunate son desperately clawing for his key. Willie wheezed a little when he breathed, but there was definitely Delta in every in and out, and Phil listened to that and began to hum in spite of himself, and they sat, not looking at one another, composing a snippet of comfort and respect in a language ordinary people aren't supposed to understand, a language that hurts our eyes. This is the way one shade of blue talks to another. Willie was Willie that night, as Willie is always. Felt fedora tipped to shadow one dimming eye, suit sewn to flatter and shimmering on the surface, nails relentlessly manicured, gleaming and girlish long as befits a man of leisure and refinement. Smelling like sugar. And not even trying to turn away those ladies who buzzed around basking in his misery that rose like heat from his skin. Rising slow to take his place of honor on the stage, he rocked the old stuff with just a little bit of swerve in that aging hip, threw back his head a little on a lyric that moved him, and sat down again next to Phil, who leaned over and squeezed his bony shoulder. Phil wanted to ask him things, but didn't. Good set, Willie. Good set. They spoke maybe 20 words that night, most of them in silence. Willie envied the white boy his burning, maybe even saw a bit of old Willie in that soulful abandon. He was often heard to growl low, you know, that white boy sure can sing. Phil wondered what to do with the guilt that comes from sipping at that deep history, gathering the qualifications he needed to be blue. They hummed and grunted, moaned low and spat single syllables at each other until the woman walked in, trying to stand tall but stumbling a little bit to reach the bar stool. Her red dress was painfully tight and a circle of deep brown skin flashed through a gaping hole in her stockings. She scanned the bar, squinting at the bright light, then ordered up her first drink of the night. Phil noticed the tenseness in her back and said to himself, "Don't nobody come in here looking for love." Weeping Willie looked at the bar stool where she would spend the night and knew that she would give him another reason to weep.
I said, trouble in mind, yes, I'm blue. But I won't be blue always. Sun's gonna shine in my back door one day. I said, trouble in mind. Yes, it's true. I have almost lost my mind. Never had this much trouble in my life before.
Woo! The Cantab scene from Patricia Smith's new theater piece, poetic theater piece called Blues Through the Bone. Welcome back to Boston, Patricia Smith.
Thank you.
She and the band are playing at the Cambridge Center for Adult Education tomorrow night. Our phone is 1-800-423-8255. Julian is on a car phone.
Hey, Chris.
Hello, Julian.
Yeah, hi, Patricia.
How you doing?
Hey, pretty good. Patricia, I have to confess, I was one of those probably larger than you would like group of people who felt quite antagonistic with your Globe pieces over the years. But listening, tuning in today, I have to say that with a certain amount of humble pie, I have to admit you have a convert. I thought the work that you're doing is very beautiful, especially that piece, Scribe. The question I have for you is, do you intend to record any of this work?
Yeah, we do. We do, actually. This is it's kind of a work in progress now. I'm not even sure if it's one piece or two. But I've been talking with the band, and as soon as we get this nailed down, that's what we're going to do. We're actually going to have somebody try to come and record the show live.
Hmm. Well, that's great stuff. Well, good luck.
Thank you so much.
Julian, thank you. Patricia, what do you make of the fact that the media, I mean, the mediums are different, and you reach Julian as you reach Sharad before in a spoken way that may be more powerful than the printed page?
Well, I think if you can hear me, when you hear me speak, you can kind of get a better idea of what drove me to write the piece, because I can't speak the piece without putting a lot of that back into it. And I think that's kind of a basic kind of a primal thing that people recognize. And sometimes they're not even sure why it affects them, but I think that has a lot to do with it.
Hmm. What does the music do you think?
Oh, well, first of all, you have to have someone who understands why you wrote the piece. That's one of the reasons that Phil and I got together. And I can't imagine, when I do this piece now without them, it just sounds hollow. It elevates whatever I'm doing. It's almost like having a second throat right next to me that's saying the poem in another way. You know, he's doing the poem the same way I am. He's just doing it the way he does it. You know, Steve, when he's playing guitar, he's doing it that way. Jim on the drums. And our poor, dearly departed bassist, Josh, who couldn't be here, who I love dearly. But they really, they're magicians. They really are. They can hear something once and come right in and play it like I'm saying it.
Don't go away, guys. The phone is 1-800-423-8255. The Poetic Theater Connection with Patricia Smith. 1-800-423-TALK. Kimberly is on the line.
Hello.
Hey, Kimberly.
How are you?
Good.
Christopher, I wanted to say thank you so much for this show. I tell everybody that you're my adult education course every day.
Well, it's my education, too, Kimberly.
So it's great. And
thank you.
Patricia, I'm so glad to hear you on this. I miss your column.
Oh, thank you.
I really do. And I wanted to tell you that in about 1992, you came to the school where I was teaching. It's an alternative high school in Boston called Jobs for Youth, and did a performance. And
I remember that.
I wanted to say, you know, it was fabulous. The students were awestruck, and I don't know if they were able to articulate that, but It really made an impression on them, and it made an impression on me. It, as an English teacher, it really revolutionized my understanding of poetry and performance poetry, particularly. It was very accessible and emotional, and I think about it a lot.
Yeah. A lot of people think that their idea of poetry is something that's, you know, kind of relegated to the dusty bookshelves, and you take it down and blow the dust off and read it, you know. And once people realize that it's the language is immediate, it's about things we all talk about, you know, it's something that's close enough you can reach out and touch, and you can do it yourself, which is what sort of fuels me to go into as many schools as I do, because I love to have students look up and say, wait a minute. You know, either I've already been doing that, or it's not such a big leap from where I am to what she's doing right now. You know, so it sounds like there was a little bit of that there, so I'm really thankful for that.
Definitely. I think you were able to give voice to some of the emotions they had that they didn't really even realize that they could speak those out. Hmm. So it was very powerful. I have a question as well.
Yeah.
I'm a mother of two young children. And I heard one poet say that the poems she wrote when her kids were young were extremely short, written at the kitchen counter.
And, they have to be, yeah.
I know you have a son, and I'm wondering, it seems like at this stage in my life I have more to write about and the issues are richer, but I have much less time to do it. I've been writing poetry for over 25 years, but I can't seem to get anything completed. I'm just wondering,
you know,
if you can speak to that.
It's terribly frustrating, and what I've started to do is just to keep a notebook, because sometimes I know there's things I want to write about, and if I don't grasp them right then, they slip away. So I'll write the idea down, and sometimes it will even come to me in the form of two or three lines, or there'll be an image or something that I know I want in the poem. And that way, you kind of, it's never far from you. The problem is when you try to find a time to set aside, never read an interview with like Stephen King or somebody who gets up at 3 o'clock in the morning and writes until midnight or something like that, because it'll just frustrate you. But, you know, put these things down in a notebook. Every once in a while when you have a time, take the notebook out and just read, you know, the latest entries that you've written and stuff. And sometimes it may come to you at 3 o'clock in the morning and you might have to get up and write for like a half an hour or something. Whenever the muse hits you, write something. It doesn't have to be a complete poem. It can just be a list of images. It could be a line that comes to you. It could be something that your child does that you know you're going to want to write about. But the notebook is so, sort of your continuing stream of consciousness thing that you'll need to spark your writing when you do have the time.
Kimberly, thank you, and good luck. 1-800-423-8255. Tracy is calling from Harwich.
Hi,
on Cape
how are
Cod.
You?
Great, Tracy. Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much. Hello, Patricia.
Hi, Tracy.
I have actually kind of two questions for you. The first one leads into the next, but it relates to what your other callers have been talking about. Roy Nathanson with the Jazz Passengers, I'm not sure if you're familiar with him. He's really based out of New York, just released a CD called Fire at Keaton's Bar and Grill, which is absolutely wonderful. And it is along the lines of what you're doing, which is merging poetry with jazz. And it's so accessible, and it sometimes lulls you in a way that makes it seem overly simplistic. And I'm wondering if you're thinking the jazz is informing the poetry, or the poetry is making the jazz accessible. And I wonder if you could comment on that, and I'll take my answer off the air.
Overly simplistic. Well, when I first decided I want to collaborate with musicians and started to work with Phil, the idea was I thought it would be really cool to have some background music while I read some poems, you know. And then in the process of that, I realized that he understood more about what I was trying to do than I was giving him credit for. And that he saw, you know, he kind of reached right down, and what gives him the soul in his music allowed him to see the soul in the poems, you know. So I do see this as a real collaboration. We tried not to push the poetry or the music one over the other. We try to do it kind of hand in hand and march forward together. And it is a work in progress. I mean, I really need feedback, people telling me, is it working? Is the music overwhelming? And are the poems and the music blending in the way that I think is effective, you know? But the guy that you mentioned, someone had called me and told me that I should meet him. And go and at least see what he was doing. And I'm looking forward to that. I'm kind of in the fledgling baby stage with this. I'm sure there are other people out there who've been doing it for longer and in much more effective ways, but I am truly, truly, truly enjoying it.
And I'm just a country lawyer, sure. You know, fledgling girl. I mean, not that you're not, but I mean, you're a master. I wish you'd give us, would you give us 2 or 3 minutes more before we're done. Just another taste of Blues Through the Bone, Patricia Smith, and...
How about a taste outside of Blues Through the Bone? I'll
as you like. You're in charge.
Do you know the Coltrane piece, Phil?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do the Coltrane piece. This is a poem for John Coltrane. I always shudder when I pray. Mama say the Lord enters you in stages, first like a lit match under your skin, then like an animal biting through bone with soft teeth. Mama say lie still and wait for glory to consume you, wrap its way into your map like a lover had his finger on paradise, knew the way with all his heart, then lost it. I always shudder when I pray. So your name must be a prayer. Saying your name colors my mouth, frees loose this river, changes my skin, turns my spine to string. I pray all the time now. Amen. Try not to touch me while I tell this. Try not to brush the thick tips of your fingers against my throat while my throat moves telling this story. Don't suddenly squeeze my bare shoulders or travel your mouth along the flat swell of my belly. Whatever you do, don't bite at the hollow in my back, whisper touch my ankles or match our skin like spoons. Don't punctuate this rambling sentence with your tongue or trace your name on the backs of my legs. Please don't walk the question of your breath along my thighs or draw a map on my quivering breastbone guiding me to you, me to you, me to you. Do not play me that way. Don't play me that way, the way the sax man plays his woman, blowing into her mouth until she cries, allowing her no version of her own. Don't play me that way, baby, the way the sax man plays his lady, that strangling, soft murder, notes like bullets, riffs like knives, and the downbeat slapping into her. And she sighs, into her, and she cries, into her, and she whines, like the night turning. Just let me sit here on the bar stool, sipping something bitter. Let me cross my legs slow, like the colored girls do, and let me feel your eyes go there. Let me feed on glory and grow fat. Meanwhile, lover, let's fill this wicked church with music. Let me lean to the song for once without your mouth on me. The music, a lit match under my skin. And I dance, all legs and thunderous and heels too high. I dance cheek perfume and black nail polish. Shark skin congregation, heads pressed, attitudes too tight. Won't scream until it gets to be too much. Won't beg for mercy until I wreck the landscape with my hips. Barstool's filling. Everybody's waiting for the glory to move through me. Rock me with hosannas, shake me with hallelujahs to break these bored bones. They wait for you, supreme love, to pull me out onto the dance floor. Whisper come ons in my ear. Make me kick my heels above my head. High heels above my nappy head. While they wait, I will dance with the sax man. I will shimmer as he presses my keys. Him and me bopping, we are wicked church. So do not play, do not play, do not play. Did you hear me tell you do not play me that way? The way I pray to be played. Mama say the Lord enters you in stages. Play me that way. First like a lit match under my skin. Play me that way. Then like an animal biting through bone with soft teeth. Play me. Mama say lie still and wait for glory. That way. To consume me. That way. Work my keys. That way. Press my key. That way. Press my key. That way. Press my key. That way. Press my... Wait a minute. Don't pay me no mind, lover. I always shudder when I pray.
Thank you, Patricia Smith. Thanks to the guys in the band, too. Phil Pemberton on vocals, Jim Weston on drums, Steve Griskoviak on guitar. Connection listeners, if you're anywhere near Boston, Patricia Smith and the Phil Pemberton Band will be performing Blues Through to Bone tomorrow night, Saturday, May 20th, at the Cambridge Center for Adult Education. In June, she'll be at the Knitting Factory in New York City. You can continue the Poetic Theater conversation on our website at theconnectiononeword.org. Our website producer is Jim Norris. Special thanks today to George Hicks. We also had help from Glenn Alexander, Tim Monroe, Rebecca Smuckler, and Kim Bichari. I'm Christopher Lydon. This is The Connection from WBUR Boston. Funding for The Connection comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where The Connection is produced, and from the Allaire Corporation.
PRI, Public Radio International.
This is WBUR. Coming up on Here and Now at Noon, in addition to all the news, a press panel discussion of job prospects in the New England area. New Hampshire has passed a bill...